Moncrief on News Talk
with the Dacia Duster. Shockingly affordable, and now with 3 months deferred payments too.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. Barbara and Declan join us once again for So You Think You're an Adult. Good afternoon to you both.
How's it going?
Here's your first question. I'm 36 and I found myself in the middle of three different emotional and needy people. These are my three closest friends who are all going through a bit of a life crisis, some more serious than others. They don't know each other, so don't unload on one another. Now, they all unload on me. It sounds selfish, but I'm absolutely exhausted from taking on their emotional baggage. After a long day at work, I get home to phone calls and text messages that are all urgent to them and need immediate attention. I should be flattered that I'm considered a good friend, but I feel like I have another full-time job. What's worse, if I try to turn the conversation around and see the positive side of things, they tell me I'm not being helpful. I can't always be a bin for them to dump everything in. My husband tells me I should tell them to F off and give me a break, but I feel responsible for them now. So despite everything, I find it hard to pull away. How do I break this pattern? Barbara.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Actually, this is actually, I think it's a tough one. And it's also very tough to be the person on whom one other person dumps, never mind two, never mind three other people,
yeah,
all separately dumping on top of you.
Yeah.
And again, I think you used the expression last week or the week before, Declan, about, you know, when you're on an airplane and you have to put your own oxygen mask on first before you can help anybody else's. Like, taking on board everybody else's stuff is going to have an effect on you. You know, I mean, it and your own mental health is way more important than being a receptacle for people who seem to just want to dump. From what this woman said, or I'm taking this woman, from what this person says, they don't seem to, the three friends individually don't seem to want to engage in any kind of moving things forward. They just want to just vomit all their stuff out and kind of then leave her to kind of cope with it. My only suggestion would be to start to break the habit by not always being as available to them as she currently is. In other words, she describes coming home every day from work and it's like she has another job because she has to go through all these messages and stuff that are all, they require urgent attention. And she obviously is getting back to each of them and providing a listening ear or whatever else that she can do. If I was her, I would try and triage them and decide which was the most serious and maybe leave the door open to her a little bit longer and then decide with the other two in order of priority and start to pull away from the one with the least priority. That doesn't mean pull away your friendship, but just not always be available. In other words, don't get back to her on the same day. Yeah. Leave it for a couple of days. Say, really sorry, didn't get back to you. You know, there was a lot going on. And let her friends know that she has her own stuff going on as well that she has to deal with. So, you know, that she's not always available to come back straight away. It is not part of her. She says, I feel responsible for them, but she's not responsible for them. You know, everybody's responsible for themselves. And it's very good to be a good friend, but not when it gets to the point here that it's obviously causing her hassle. So I would say, I'm not saying shut the door, but I am saying start to pull back a little bit, start to put up those boundaries, start to respect that you need to look after yourself, number one, before you can look after anybody else.
You could also mention to them that I'm also dealing with your problems plus Mary and Joe's problems as well.
Yeah,
you know? That is one of the things I was thinking about, is maybe she just bring them all together into a room and leave them, and then they can, you know, then they'll work out
a problem off.
Yeah,
exactly. And then, you know, that's, you know, get talk about hashtag perspective. I was also thinking about whether or not this is, you know, how long has this been going on? Like, is this something that's happening in the current kind of environment where people are feeling a little bit more sensitive, or whether or not it's been going on for a long time, and if so, what's changed that's finally made it the straw that's breaking the camel's back here? Is it just bad timing, is in the sense that these people are just going through a short term phase of crises or whatever, or is it kind of, I suppose, bad relationship management, you know, in the sense that she's somehow allowed a situation to evolve where she is the designated listener in people's lives? Because look, I like to talk. I like the sound of my own voice, as anybody listening will probably be aware.
Really? Yeah.
And you know, but Barbara, you and I chat, and you still manage to get a word in sometimes as well. Because relationships require that kind of, you know, you need to swap roles. You need to, that's where empathy kind of comes in, is, you know, having a chance to speak, having a chance to say, me too, you know, you know, and that's part of developing a serious relationship. So it sounds to me that over the course of a long time, this woman's relationship with her friends has been very one-sided, and now she's just realizing how ridiculous that is. Because sometimes it's your turn to be listened to, and they're not listening. They're not listening when she says, ah, here, can we talk about something more positive? They're probably not even listening to her advice. So you have to ask the question.
I wonder, is that part of the issue here, though, is that, and again, I've seen this happen before, where you've got one person who's very empathetic and people feel very comfortable in being able to share whatever's going on with this one person. Very often that's because that person actually isn't going to challenge you or give you any kind of like, here's what you need to do in order to sort this mess out. They just allow you.
Which is another way of saying that it's a really selfish act, because what it's doing is allowing somebody to bitch and moan about himself inside, or you're one down the road, or my boss or whatever, without, and you know, that's a very important part of life as well.
But you need to move on from that then.
And that's one of the things I think that you said, triage, which I think is a brilliant way of putting it, that I do think she needs to evaluate the seriousness of each individual problem, and she has to also continuously monitor the progress that people are making with this thing, because if they don't want to do the right turn into like a more positive conversation, then they do need to do the left turn into evaluating how have we gone with this. You're still in the same place, Bernie. You're just going around in circles. This is boring. I think she also does need to like dismiss any kind of self-indulgence as well.
It says life crisis, though, so we don't really know how serious these problems are. But I suppose she could be actually contributing to their problems rather than helping them.
Because just you're not letting them
She's enabling them to continue to go around in circles with them,
But it would also be kind of flattering, though, as well, that all these people come to me for...
I think the flattery part goes... goes after a while. I mean, she said this has been going on for some time. I think initially you might be a bit flattered, but I think then it just does become exhausting.
But perhaps that's how you get in that situation in the first place, is that you enjoy being needed in that way, but then suddenly realise you're not being needed, you're being used.
Yeah.
And that's kind of... I think that the only way out of that situation is to kind of take the talking stick back and actually start talking about your own stuff. Or, as I said, jokingly, but maybe I'm not joking, is to put the three people with troubles into a room together so they get a bit perspective.
Talk to each other,
Or you could say, my troubles are I'm listening to other people while I load those troubles. Hint, you know. And my head is melted. The friends are not the problem in that situation. The emailer is. She needs to learn how to set boundaries and stop blaming other people for the problem.
Ooh, that's harsh.
Tell that person with the emotional friends to tell them you're unable to deal with their problems as you're going, you've enough going on. My friend used to do the same to me and it was so stressful. So I said I couldn't keep doing what I was doing as it was unfair on not only me but on the person who they were dumping crap about. It was the best thing ever. I don't know. Depends how depends
on the
problem.
It does depend on the problem.
It's a really serious problem.
Right.
I work in an office and normally wear office wear like trouser suits and heels, pencil skirts and shirts. The usual. Lockdown meant working from home and I've really embraced the comfy wear. Joggers, hoodies, t-shirts. I haven't known myself and loved breaking out of the restriction of the shirts and that. I've also ditched the bra. I haven't worn one in 4 months. It is incredibly liberating. Now don't be fooled. My boobs are not perfectly pert and tight. I've breastfed 3 kids so they are stretched and misshapen. But I don't find it uncomfortable having them free, so I embraced it. Last week we went to my brother's birthday party in his house and wore jeans and a t-shirt. No bra. I kept catching my sister-in-law looking at me and my boobs. It was very off-putting. I said to my husband when we were home, who said that my nipples were big and protruding and following people around the room? I was mortified. He said they always do, but he's used to them now. I put a bra back on this week and felt like I couldn't breathe with it on. I've grown so used to not wearing them now. Are there alternatives? Should I just own that I have big protruding nipples and to hell with it? I'm due back in the office 3 days a week from August. I don't think I can face bras, tight skirts and heels anymore. Lockdown has changed me.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, actually, before Barbara and I had a chat about this before we came on air, where Barbara said, oh, you know, I have opinions about this. And the implication was that I wouldn't know anything about bras and boobs and stuff. And I had to explain to her that I have six boxes of them in the drawers.
It's true. Yeah, you would have equal opinions on this too.
Bras and boobs and stuff. And, you know, but this, I suppose this is a kind of a conflict between the idea of wearing what you like in order to be comfortable versus wearing what you like and making other people comfortable. And there's this really weird kind of thing. In professional situations particularly, we have all of these dress codes that have evolved over time, but they're still there and in place because somebody has an opinion. And that's what the dress code is really about, is it's stopping all the opinions happening. Personally, I have no problem with somebody wearing like a completely sheer top and having their nips out. That doesn't bother me, but you know that there'll be somebody somewhere that would have an issue with it. And I think that when it comes to these things, that's what it is. You know, it's about trying to find a way to exist without triggering somebody else's in their weird kind of thing.
Oh my God. Easily known you put your boobs in a drawer at night and leave them there and that they don't really belong to you. This woman is so bang on the money. And I so absolutely agree with her. Bras, as far as I'm concerned, are another instrument of the patriarchy. They are a completely useless invention unless you've got very big boobs that require support. Most women don't. And in actual fact, there's research that says it's better for you not to wear a bra. They are the most uncomfortable. And don't text in or email in saying, oh, no, if you get yourself measured properly, they'll be fabulous. I am 58 years of age. Bras are the most uncomfortable, restrictive nonsense ever. The first thing most women do when they come in after a day wearing all this stupid crap that they have to wear to work, including high heels, is take off the shoes and take off the bra. My bra is like, you know, the flag that ships put up when they're in port. My bra sits on the banisters as soon as I've landed in for the evening and it stays there. I think absolutely we have a great opportunity here to get rid of bras. They serve no useful purpose unless your body demands that they need it. They are designed to keep women distracted and uncomfortable. And, you know, back in the 70s, the late 70s and early 80s, it was quite acceptable to go around in a T-shirt with no bra. Being braless.
It is now.
Daughters, I haven't worn a bra in.
I have three daughters. They don't have a bra between them.
Okay, well,
dinner time, you can't. It's like, it's a parade of nipples.
Well, hooray for your daughters, because my daughters live in some kind of, I don't know, kind of Stone Age land where they go around going, "Mom, are you seriously going out with no bra on?" And I'm going, "Yes." If my nipples offend you, that's your problem. It's not my problem. So
but that's
kind of
what we're talking about. It's the offence, this kind of pretending. That's the only bit I was alluding to. Wasn't whether or not I thought that a bra as a construct isn't some kind of stupid idea based on people's attitude towards boobs.
It's to make your boobs look rounder and perter and stick up and give you a cleavage. Now, if that's what you're looking for on a sexy night out, absolutely fine. I may still wear a bra on those occasions. But for going to work, no. They're about as useful as a pair of high heels. They slow you down, they make you uncomfortable, and they are ridiculous. So I think this woman is leading a charge that we should all be ditching.
I agree with you. Well, what I was saying is that I totally agree with all that. As I mentioned already, I would have no problem if somebody was in a work environment where I could see their boobs through their top. That doesn't. I actually don't understand. Maybe that's a lot to do with my sexual orientation, or maybe it's to do with my enlightenment. But I don't understand the fixation with the boob
and
as a thing anyway.
It is new. I mean, it wasn't an issue back in the late 70s.
I thought you were
going to
say back in the olden days.
Back in the olden days, it wasn't an issue. Now, if this woman really has a problem, I know there are things because I found them at home called nipple daisies that you can buy, and that you can stick onto your nipple so that they don't offend anybody. But really,
that's kind of what I was trying to get to, the offense thing. People get offended by
that
boobs.
Is their problem. Let them get offended. Seriously, I am not going to go around in a straitjacket so somebody doesn't get offended.
Camilla in HR who can make your work life difficult.
But if all the women had no bras on and Camilla was nipples all over the place, then she'd soon get over herself fairly quickly. And I'll tell you, it's far more likely to be Fred in HR.
Well, no, yeah, no, I agree with that too. It is.
Have we left it to go on set?
Eugene, okay, yeah. Eugene doesn't suggest nipple daisies. He says duct tape will sort out that. There's very little it can fix. Oh, God, save us tonight.
Ouch.
Sinead says, I'm a D cup. I haven't worn a bra in over a year. I wore a little bralette as a modesty protector when I go out, but it's nowhere near as resisting as a bra, or restricting, I assume you mean, as a bra, and can sleep in it. She says.
Yeah, well, that's good. And I mean, I know some women, you know, if you have got big boobs, you do need probably some level of support. But bras have become ridiculous. It's actually very difficult to buy bras now that don't have underwires, to buy bralettes. They're coming in more now. But there was years when you couldn't buy a bra that didn't have underwires, which are really uncomfortable after a few hours. They're awful things.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, go for
it. Are we clear about that?
But the thing is, no, she's absolutely right. And, you know, we all agree with her. At the same time, she's, you know, she's going to go back into work not wearing a bra.
Yeah.
The eyes are going to be out and stuff.
Get her daisies then.
Yeah. But that's all I was trying to get to. That again, I keep saying that's the bit where she's going to run into problems. You can do whatever you like in your house and even if you're in the supermarket. But if you are sitting in a board meeting and then somebody goes, you know, I can visualize it. Oh, you're not very professional there with your bra, you know, not on.
And
you know.
It's a cold day.
What are you trying to do? Yeah, yeah.
My husband and I are married 4 years now. It's not been an easy road. I've been trying for a baby for nearly 6 years. Thankfully, we are expecting our little girl in October. Congratulations to you both. Mm-hmm. We've both given so much of our lives to make this happen. And until she's born, I don't think the stress will go away. We've picked her name, but when we discussed her surname, my husband assumed it would be his surname. I didn't take his name when we married, and he never had an issue with that then. But now with our daughter, he says it has to be his surname. That this is what his parents would expect. I know they always had a problem with me keeping my name. I've worked so hard, made a lot of sacrifices to make this pregnancy happen, both mentally and physically. And now I'm carrying her. I feel my hard work means that my surname deserves to be on her birth cert. I don't feel like this is something I should have to justify. How do I get through to my husband and, by extension, his parents?
Whoa. Yeah, gotcha. Boom, boom, boom.
Boom. I think for this woman, like, let's be very clear, the name... The surname has got nothing to do with his parents, first off. Yes. Nothing yes. whatsoever yeah. to do with his parents. So it doesn't matter whether they approve or don't approve or whether they like it or whether they don't like it. This is between her and her husband. End of story. And I totally understand where she's coming from, because I was in exactly the same situation when I got married, didn't take my husband's name. Then we had two kids and it was like, what are we doing about the surnames? And I did not want to be airbrushed out of their identities by just capitulating automatically and going, well, okay, honey, they can have your surname, even though my surname clearly is my father's surname, not my mother's surname. So, yes. But anyway.
Actually, that's an interesting point, because doesn't that just kind of continue the patriarchy?
Yeah, it kind of does, yeah. But having said all of that, I mean, when we sat down and talked about it, I said, okay, no, I don't want my surname to be gone. So we decided on doing the dreaded double barrel. So they were registered with both surnames, you know, so they're Sherwood Scully. But I mean, that's a bit of a mouthful. Mm. And we decided fairly early on that for operational purposes on a day-to-day basis, when they were old enough, which kind of coincided with when they started school, they could decide themselves whether they wanted to be known by either Scully or Sherwood. Needless to say, both of them chose Sherwood. Yeah. So they both, and I spent years standing on the side of a GAA pitch and washing and watching my daughter in her shirt that says Sherwood, Scully nowhere to be found. But you know what? It actually, at the end of the day, doesn't matter a fig. And I say that as an absolute feminist who totally believes in keeping your own identity and all that kind of stuff. It actually doesn't matter a fig. They are officially Sherwood Scully. Their passports say Sherwood Scully. They only use Sherwood, both of them. And it actually, at the end of the day, when you realise that your name is actually your father's name, not your mother's name anyway, I wouldn't lose too much sleep over it, but I certainly don't include his parents in it. It's got nothing to do with him. This is something you and he work out, and the obvious compromise is to use both.
Yeah. And I'm duty bound to read out at least one of the texts you anticipated getting.
Yes.
That woman is talking nonsense. She obviously never wore a proper fitting bra. It fitted properly. You're not aware of it. It doesn't support your muscles, and she will notice it later in life.
She won't.
When they're hanging down to her waist.
Do you know
I'm sorry, not a good look.
The research says that your muscles stop working if your tits are in a bra for years, because your muscles stop working.
They get lazy.
Lazy
boobs.
Lazy boobs. They'll be fine until you take the bra off. Yeah. And then they'll hit your knees. Yeah. So you're better off not wearing a bra at all, because your muscles learn to work.
Send your boobs out to get a job.
Thank you so much.
Barbara Declan, thank you both very much. To take a break back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With the Dacia range. Drive away today with no payments for the first 3 months.